I know it's so good for you to sit through that because you're waiting for the sermon. And today we're talking about patience. So, patience. Isn't that the greatest word in the world? It's one of my favorite words. Is it your favorite word too? One of my favorite experiences in life. Because really no one is looking to go through patience in life, are they? No one is looking for patience. But patience just has a way of finding you. Right? And so there are instances in life where you're just like, how long do I have to wait? How long do I have to go through this? Back in the 80s, there was one of the greatest movies ever made. I know, you think I'm crazy, but the 80s put everything out the best. Fluorescence, big hair, all that stuff. Back in the 80s, one of the greatest movies was ever made, and we were introduced to this teenage boy that was just going through struggles in life and trying to find his place and who he is and where he was and getting bullied and just beat up over and over and over again. And finally, Daniel LaRusso got beat up by Johnny and his gang too many times. And when he was about to get pummeled, Mr. Miyagi jumps in and saves him. Right? The Karate Kid. Best movie ever. And so Daniel's like, man, where did you learn all that stuff? How can you teach me that stuff so that I can learn how to defend myself? Can you teach me some of that martial arts karate stuff? And Mr. Miyagi's like, Yeah, I will teach you. We have a deal. I will teach you, and you will learn from me. I will tell you things, and you won't ask questions. He's like, okay, that's good. Good. Let's start by washing the car. And when you finish, I want you, Danielson, wax on, wax up. Big circles, Danielson, big, wax on, wax up. Wax on, big circles. Remember to breathe. Breathing important, wax on, wax off. So he washes his car and does that. And then later he comes back, hey, I'm ready to learn more about martial arts. And what are you doing? He's sanding the floor. And he's like, oh, what are these? Oh, these are Japanese sanders. So what are you doing? You can sand the floor. You know, sand the floor. Big circles, Danielson. Big circles. Breathe through your nose. Breathing is important. Big circles, Danielson. Sand the floor. Sand the floor. And he just walks away and Daniel's doing the work. And then later on, Daniel's painting the fence. Like, No, long strokes, up and down. Bend the wrist, Danielson. Bend the wrist. And he's like, okay. Paints the whole fence. Ends up painting the house. And finally, at some point, Daniel's like, what, Mr. Miyagi, what's up? I asked you to teach me martial arts, and you haven't done a thing. You haven't helped me at all. All you've done is used me as a slave to do all these chores around your house that you didn't want to do. Well, I'm done with it. I'm through. I'm not going to do it anymore. And he gets ready to go and leave because he's lost his patience. It is easy to get impatient in this world, isn't it? And life has a way of just throwing things at us that make us throw our arms up and just say, I'm done. I quit. I've had enough. I can't do it anymore. And just I want you to think about this. What are the things that cause you to throw your arms up in the air and say, forget it. It's not worth it. I'm done. You don't have to answer me that. You can, but just, what are the things that make you get you to the point that you're like, I can't take another step. I can't do this again. I'm out. What are the things that challenge your patience and make you want to throw the towel in? Thomas A. Kempis was a great Christian man, just had a lot of great teachings and things to say, and he says this, we'll put it on the screen, all men commend patience, although few are willing to practice it. Does that hit home for you? Like, I'm like, ouch, like Tom, my friend, I don't even know you, but wow, that's like, just stab it in there, right? Everyone's willing to talk about patience and how good patience is, and we'd all, this world would be a better place if we would all be more patient. But how much of us are willing to actually practice patience? How much of us are actually willing to cultivate our lives that God can work the fruit of patience-ness, being patient in there? It's interesting as we talk about the fruit of the Spirit, there's one fruit, right? There's not the fruit of love and the fruit of joy and the fruit of peace is what we're going through. The fruit of the Spirit contains love and joy and peace and patience and kindness. They're all wrapped up in this fruit. And it's very interesting that Paul goes through love and joy and peace first before he gets us to patience. think it's pretty smart, because we start out with patience, like, I'm out, I'm done, like, I can't do it anymore. But it's like, no, there's love, there's joy, and there's peace. And like, once we start working, seeing those things work, we get the patience. And then one of the reasons maybe we can get through that is because we've got love and joy and peace running already. Because patience is a hard thing to get through. And so as we're talking about that today, here's kind of my thoughts on patience and what we're going to talk about. Patience is seeing things through and thoroughly, right? Patience is seeing things through and thoroughly. Patience is getting to the end, following through, getting to the completed point, not stopping and not giving up. Whether it's waiting or whatever you have to do or enduring, you go through it to the end. You finish it. You're patient to finish the project. If you want to know about patience, come on Thursday mornings between 10 and 12, and there's a bunch of us guys that go upstairs and build models and build puzzles. Have you ever bought a brand new puzzle and it's missing a piece? Talk to Cody in back. He'll tell you what that's like. Talk about testing your patience, but it's good. Patience is seeing things through, but patience is seeing things thoroughly. When you're patient in life and you do that journey and you walk all the way through to the end, not only do you complete the project, it gives you this broader perspective about life. You see the bigger picture of what's really going on. But when we quit and when we give up because something's too tough or too hard, we don't have the patience to endure, we often get a more limited view of life. Patience is seeing things through and seeing things thoroughly in the big picture. And that's what we want to kind of talk about today. We're going to start out by reading from Psalm chapter 37. So if you wouldn't mind standing with me as we read this morning. I don't know if that was a sneeze, but God bless you if it was. Psalm chapter 37, verses 1 through 9. Fret not yourself because of evildoers. Be not envious of wrongdoers, for they will soon fade like the grass and wither like the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and befriend faithfulness. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust in him, and he will act. He will bring forth your righteousness as the light and your justice as the noonday. Be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him. Fret not yourself over the one who prospers in his way, over the man who carries out evil desires. Refrain from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not yourselves. It tends only to evil. For the evildoers shall be cut off, but those who wait for the Lord shall inherit the land. Let's pray together, church. God, I don't know that I'm in a happy place talking about patience. And even this week, I've seen my patience tested over and over and over again. And not only has it been tested, I feel like I've failed in that test. But patience is a fruit that you want to grow in us, that you want to cultivate into our lives. And so, Lord, help us to pay attention to your word and the men and women throughout the pages of the Bible that have lived lives being patient on you and waiting on you and trusting you as you grow that fruit of the Spirit, that fruit of patience in their lives. Lord, help us to listen to your Spirit now, that you can grow in us this fruit of patience, that we would be more complete in you. God, we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You can have a seat, church. Very cool psalm, and I'm using this kind of as a launching point as we get ready to jump in and talk about some points of patience. The psalm is written by King David, and it's presumed that King David is writing this later on in his later years of life. And if you've read through the Bible, or if you haven't, King David has seen his highs and seen his lows and seen his in-betweens. He's been through so many different things, and it's as though the things that he's learned, he's passing them on to the next generation and to the people around him. He's learned what it's mean to trust in the Lord and to let the Lord work spiritual fruit in his life, and he hasn't been afraid to show that fruit and also his weaknesses, but this is what I've done, and this is how we cultivate letting God transform our lives. And so he kind of pushes us through in this. And so I kind of love it. And as you read this, David gives some pretty key things in here. We'll put it up on the screen as you just break it down. Three different times in Psalm 37 in those nine verses, David says, don't worry. How else do we work on patience? Don't be jealous. Twice he says, trust God and do good. Delight in the Lord. Commit to the Lord. Be still before the Lord. Wait patiently for God to act twice, and don't get angry. How do we develop and build patience in our life? Well, wait on the Lord. Trust the Lord. Commit your way to the Lord. Let Him do the acting. Don't rush ahead. Don't be jealous of what the evildoers are doing. And don't get angry. God's got it under control. Those who wait on the Lord, what does verse 9 say? It's a beautiful thing. Evildoers shall be cut off, but those who wait for the Lord shall inherit the land. Right? Patience. That's a lot of great advice, especially when you think about the things that David went through. David, as a young boy, was chosen like this is going to be the next king of Israel. But in the meantime, he's serving Saul, who's the king of Israel, but he is just having these bouts of being angry, and you kind of understand that David is going to be the next king. So he spends his time trying to kill David, and he's throwing spears at David, and he's chased David around the desert. And David has been nothing but innocent and righteous. And he's gone after David again and again after and again to kill him. Finally, David, at some points, he's hiding with some of Israel's greatest enemies in their land so that the king of Israel doesn't chase after him. But the whole time, David won't let any of his men harm Saul, the king of Israel. Because at this point in time, he's still the Lord's anointed. And the Lord will act when the Lord is going to act. And I'm going to be patient to wait for him. And none of you better harm the Lord's anointed one. And then David, through a series of events, his sons turn on him and become some of his fiercest enemies. David has been through the ringer of life, the lowest of lows that we can get to. And at the end of his life, don't worry about the evildoers. Trust in the Lord. Commit your way to the Lord. Wait on the Lord to act. And you'll inherit the earth. You'll inherit the land. Patience is a beautiful thing. So how do we cultivate this patience in our lives? How do we learn from David and learn from Scripture how God wants to grow patience in our lives? I just have three things that we want to look at this morning. First thing is this, patience as endurance. All right, patience as endurance. And kind of a synonymous word, but in James chapter 2, you write this at the beginning of his book, like verse 1, he says, "Hey, greetings everyone, it's great to see you. Thanks for reading my book. Count it all joy when you meet trials of various kinds." Like, what kind of greeting is this? Thanks, James. "Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds, for you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness, and let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing." Steadfastness, patience, endurance. One of the great ways that the Greek word translates patience is the word long-suffering. Hey! Right? Long-suffering. Some of you have been going through things for years. You understand long-suffering. Some of us have been going through things for minutes, and we think, God, when is this going to be done? And we have no idea what long-suffering is yet. Some of us have had those lives that are hard, and there's obstacles, and there's all these things, and yet God says, be patient. I'm with you. I'm there with you. I've got you covered. And James reminds his readers, I love this, you're going to face hurdles, you're going to face obstacles, you're going to face problems of many kinds. But let the testing of your faith produce steadfastness, because steadfastness will produce a completeness and a perfection in you. Remember, patience is seeing things through, but it helps us see things thoroughly in the big picture. It completes the things of who we are. Romans chapter 5 says much the same thing. That as we go through the trials of life, the trials produce steadfastness and perseverance produces hope, and hope doesn't disappoint us. But if you want to get to the hope that doesn't disappoint us, you've got to patiently wait through all this stuff until we get there. Right? Patience produces these great results in us. It brings a completion, and it finishes the job. How many cooks do I have out here today? How many people have ever cooked brownies before? Right? Oh, brownies, like the magical. I think God sent that recipe down from heaven. I don't know, because it's just amazing. I love brownies. And let's just be clear, the best brownies are the brownies in the middle of the pan. Like, we all know that. If you think differently, you're thinking incorrectly. Because the brownies in the middle are they're just a little bit more chewier, right? And they're just like, oh, they're so good. And I remember my mom's like, oh, look at this cool pan. It was like this S like this that the cooked brownies in. So every piece is an edge piece. And I'm like, why would you ruin a whole batch of brownies like that? Like, that's the most terrible idea I've ever seen. People come up with bad ideas all the time. The middle brownies are the best brownies. In fact, even when you cook a pan of brownies, you get them out and you kind of just cut off the edge because it burnt. And it's crunchy and it's gross, but you get to that like chewy, you get to that chewy middle, right? And you're just like, oh, this is so good. But there are those times when you're cooking brownies and you're like, oh man, they're done. And you take them out of the oven and you set them on the rack to cool, and you want to come back to them 3 minutes later, but you gotta wait, and there's that patience. You're like, okay, if we're gonna get there. And then you go to cut the brownies and it's still like raw in the middle. Right? Has that happened to anyone else? And it's like, ugh. And there's nothing you can do. You can't put the brownies back in the oven and cook them more to have it come out okay. There's nothing left to do but have brownie goo over vanilla ice cream at that point. Because they're not going to be brownies. They didn't cook enough. They looked right, but if you would have given them a number 5 or 7 minutes, it would have been perfect. But you didn't. You took them out a little bit too early. You didn't wait all the time. And now you're left with a pan of ooey gooey, still goodness, but not really brownies. A lot of us experience ooey gooey lives and ooey gooey faith because we're not patient enough. Because we pull out of the trial too early. Because we're tired of waiting on God. And so we're going to take action and we're going to take care of this. God, if you're not going to help me, I'm going to help myself. And when we do that, we're kind of left with these ooey gooey lives that didn't cook all the way. Now, the beautiful thing is this. Where a pan of brownies might be ruined, you can't put them in and cook anymore, God is never done with us. Amen? And even though we might have an ooey gooey mess here, he who begin a good work in us will be faithful to complete it. And he has a way of still working through us. And like, okay, Brian, it's okay. I wish you would have learned in that trial. I'm just going to send you another one now so you learn. Like, oh, but be patient and wait. Let God work through this. Because through perseverance, James says, let steadfastness have its full effect that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. But we've got to wait on the Lord to get to that point sometimes. And the great thing is the Bible doesn't just talk about waiting and enduring in hard situations. It also talks about being patient and enduring and doing the good things. Galatians 6:9 says this, let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not give up. Let us not grow weary in doing good. Let's not give up in doing good. Don't get impatient with doing good, but sometimes, but God, I'm not seeing results. I'm pouring all this effort into it, but nothing is coming back. Like, how much longer can I continue to do good here? Nothing's coming out of it. And we get frustrated. Let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not give up. Endurance. Patience has this idea of endurance and pushing through. And sometimes you think there's no results, and I want to share with you three things. A, just because you don't see results doesn't mean results aren't there. B, you might just not be seeing the results you want to see, and you're not seeing the results that God is producing. C, stick in there and be patient on the Lord. He will bring about the results that he wants to bring about. But let us never grow weary in doing good. Let us never get impatient with being good to those around us. Amen? The best way to be patient and endure in life is to not do it alone. Do good things. Bring people around you that can encourage you and keep moving forward. Be patient in the hard things, but be patient in doing good as well. And the Lord will bear fruit when we don't give up. Second thing I want you to see is this, that patience comes in this form as love. We turn over to 1 Thessalonians. It says this, chapter 5, starting with verse 14. And we urge you, brothers, admonish the idle, encourage the faint-hearted, help the weak, be patient with them all. Paul, you haven't ever been in situations like we're in, really? We urge you, brothers, admonish the idle, encourage the faint-hearted, help the weak, be patient with them all. See that no one repays anyone evil for evil, but always seek to do good to one another and to everyone. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God for you in Christ Jesus. It's not just being joyful always and praying continually and being thankful in all circumstances. It's admonishing the idle. It's not giving up on the faint-hearted. It's being patient with everybody. This is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. What does God want from me? I just wish I knew what God wanted me to do. Rejoice always. Be thankful. Give thanks in all circumstances. Pray always. Admonish the idle. Don't give up on the faint-hearted. Don't let anyone repay evil for evil. I mean, it's right there. Like, if you want to know what God wants for your life, I mean, there it is in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 14 through 18. And are we willing to let God work that in us? Patience doesn't allow us to give up on other people. Patience sees the value in other people and sees the value in relationship of other people. And we're patient with them, not that we get something out of it. We're patient with them to see them grow in the Lord as the Lord has been working in us to grow us. Amen? It's not giving up on them. Maybe you've met some people that you're like, come on, man, get up off your derrieres and let's do something. Like, how long I've been trying you to move forward in your faith and you're just not moving, you're just not moving, and you're doing the same things over and over and over and over again. Like, how long are we going to do this? And the answer is, however long it takes for them to surrender to the Lord. Be patient with all. Encourage them. Help them. Admonish them. Being patient with others is a great way to show them love, right? And I've needed that so much. But Proverbs 15:18 says this, a hot-tempered man stirs up strife, but he who is slow to anger, or he who is patient, quiets contention. A hot-tempered man and a quick-to-anger person stirs up strife and makes the situation worse. But he who is slow to anger, he who is even-tempered, he who is patient, quiets contention. He alleviates arguments, dissolves disagreements, fizzles out fights. Because when we're patient, it's more about the person and the relationship that's there with us than getting my way or being right. Patience endures with people because we love people. Because in the end, it's all about relationship and people. Even as Pastor Brandon spoke on the first week, the fruit of love, and we went over 1 Corinthians chapter 13, the great chapter on love. And what is the very first description of love? Love is, well, that's interesting, isn't it? The fruit of the Spirit is patience, and the fruit of the Spirit is love, but love is patient. Be patient with one another. I saw this great quote that says this, patience is when you're supposed to get mad, but instead you choose to understand. Let that just sit there for a minute. Patience is when you're supposed to get mad, but instead you choose to understand. Can you imagine how much better our culture and our society would be if we would listen to that quote right now? Patience is when you're supposed to get mad, but instead you choose to understand. I grew up at church. I had the joy of growing up with parents that took me to church, and it was a good thing. So I've known faith my whole life. I had to make it my own at some point. But I was a pistol. Like, I was a jerk. And I wasn't a jerk in school. I was a jerk in church. So I'm just telling you, like, some of you are like, you're still a jerk in church. Like, I know, I get it. I mean, I was the kid in high school that and junior high that we went to big church, here we are, and then we went to our class afterwards, but we would leave big church like 15 minutes early, like, they're doing communion, let's go. And we'd get out of there and we'd go through the parking lot and we'd walk through the neighborhood and we'd cross this creek and we'd go across the college campus where my wife used to work and we'd cross the next street because Mobile was there and Mobile had candy. And that's what Sunday morning was all about, was getting the blow pops. And then we'd hustle back and we'd get back to our class. So we would ditch church early to do that. But I grew up in a larger church, and so the youth group itself was about 300. The high school group was about 300 to 400 kids. And so we had, Sunday school had a 9th grade class, and it had a 10th grade class, and it had an 11th grade class, and it had a 12th grade class. And so as you go through, that's how it just separated. And all those years, within each of those years, I made all of my Sunday school teachers cry at some point. Some of you are laughing over here, and you're like, yeah, no, I could see that, yeah. I'm not proud of that, just a little, but my friend Scott and I, like, you know, we were here, but we just hit our rhythm in the freshman year, and we just kept going with it. And here's the amazing thing about that. Our teachers never kicked us out of class and told us we're not allowed to come. They never said, that's it. I'm done with you. Obviously, you're not learning and you don't care about the Lord. Get out of here so we can teach other people. Not once did they ever do that. I can tell you some stories about things they did say, but that's not for the pulpit. But not once did they kick us out or get rid of us. They were patient with us. Even though we were teenagers, rotten teenagers, jerky teenagers. But they saw people that were valued by the Lord. And they understood their call to be Sunday school teachers, to train up the high schoolers to love the Lord. And they were patient with us. They were patient with me. And they never gave up on me. And that makes a big impact in my life as I look back on it today. Like, why on earth did they continue to put up with me? Because it was never just about me. It's about God and what God wanted to do in me through the work that they were doing. And so they were patient. Patience is loving other people. Patience is seeing the value in relationship, the value in who they are created by God, the value in the fact that God has called you to be patient, and he's calling them to work on them. And however he's trying to work on them, he's trying to work on you at the same time. And if we step out of that too early, we're left a little bit ooey-gooey. But if we stick with it to the end, if we're patient through it all, we see completion and we see perfection and we see the fruit of the spirit of patience grow in our life. And that's what God is trying to do. I love what the Apostle Peter says, and it's going to lead us into our next point too. 2 Peter 3:9 says this, "The Lord is not slow to fulfill his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient towards you." Just let that, God is patient toward you. And you might think, you know, he doesn't need to be patient with me. And that's why God is patient with you. Because he needs to be patient with all of us. He is patient toward you, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance. God bless you. Why is God patient with us? Because he wants to see us come to faith in him. He wants to see us grow in him. He wants to see the spiritual fruit in the life he has planned for us blossom in him. And so God is patient with us. And that brings us to our third point, that patience as forgiveness. Patience is this endurance. It's standing in there for the long haul. It's finishing out so that we see things through and we see things thoroughly. Patience is love. It's about relationship. But patience is about forgiveness. 2 Timothy says this, "Remember Jesus Christ, risen from the dead, the offspring of David, as preached in my gospel, for which I am suffering, bound with chains as a criminal. But the word of God is not bound. Therefore, I endure everything for the sake of the elect, that they may also obtain the salvation that is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory." Paul's writing this. He's in prison. He's in jail for not really doing anything wrong. For people hating him for no reason other than him telling them about Jesus. And he says, I don't care. I'm going to push through that. I'm going to be patient and I'm going to endure through those things. Why? So that they would come to know the salvation of the Lord in their life. So that they would know the love of God as I know the love of God. I will endure whatever I need to endure because I love them enough to know that God created them for a relationship with him. But it starts with faith in Jesus Christ. And so I will push through anything. I love reading some of the things of the Apostle Paul because he really puts feet to faith. It's easy to be faithful. It's easy to practice patience when things are going well. I can be patient when I drive on the road when I have nowhere to go in any amount of time. But the minute I'm late, everyone else is my problem. And I lose all patience. But I lost patience because I let things get out of control, and now I'm running late, and I get into a mess. I forget about the value of other people, and I only see the value in myself. And God says, Brian, be patient in endurance through things. Be patient in loving other people, because as you do that, that patience can help them see forgiveness and experience the forgiveness of God in their lives. And that's what God wants to do. Isaiah chapter 30 says, therefore the Lord waits to be gracious to you, and therefore he exalts himself to show mercy to you. For the Lord is a God of justice. Blessed are those who wait for him. And God is writing to Israel as they're just in a bout of turmoil. And he says, I'm going to call you back. I'm going to bring you back. But I love this idea of God telling Israel, I am waiting to be gracious to you. And some are like, God, what are you waiting for? Like, I need graciousness now. Like, but where is that? How do I experience that? And the problem is sometimes we're running so far ahead and doing our own different things that we're not staying with the Lord and that we're not waiting on the Lord. And so we can't experience that graciousness because we're off doing who knows what. And God is waiting to be gracious to us. Israel, I'm waiting to be gracious to you. Church, I'm waiting to be gracious to you. Will we stop and sit in his presence and experience that grace? I think as we talk about waiting and forgiveness, probably one of the greatest stories is Joseph in the Bible. If you don't know the story, he's one of 12 brothers. He's the youngest. He's the one his dad loves the most, so the brothers hate him the most. So they say, we're going to kill him, but instead of killing him, they sell him into slavery. He becomes a slave in Egypt. He gets falsely accused of raping his owner's wife, and so he gets thrown in prison. And then being in prison, he's there forever. Well, not forever, but for so many years. And then finally, he gets exalted to, I think, like third highest seat in Egypt. And a famine is coming and hits the land, and there's no food, and people are dying. Except Egypt has learned under Joseph's guidance and the Lord's wisdom he's given him to hold all their food so that they're taken care of. And here comes Joseph's brothers back to Egypt to get some food so they can survive. And they don't recognize Joseph, but he recognizes them. And oh, the things he could do as the third highest power seat in Egypt. And he messes with them, don't get me wrong, as you should probably, maybe. But eventually he says, my brothers, man, I love you. I've missed you. How was dad? I forgive you guys. And his brothers are scared to death. But soon they realize Joseph is forgiving us. After all these years, he's patient with them and he forgives them. Coming back to The Karate Kid. I know, it's the greatest movie ever. Daniel is getting ready to walk out after he has his rant of I quit and I give up. And Mr. Miyagi's like, Danielson, come here. He's like, what? Show me sand the floor. Mr. Miyagi, my shoulder hurts really bad. Show me sand the floor. He's like, okay. He starts getting like, stand up. Do circles. And he's like, Danielson, big circles, you know. And he's like, fine, whatever. And then Mr. Miyagi throws a punch and Daniel blocks it. Show me, wax the car. He's like, show me, wax the car. Okay. And he throws more punches and he starts blocking it. Show me, paint the fence. And all the things he's learned in the household chores, he now realizes, oh, Mr. Miyagi has been showing me martial arts without showing me martial arts. I get it now. But it took patience. It took endurance. And it took someone coming alongside and saying, Daniel, don't give up. You think you haven't learned anything, but you've learned everything you need to know. Let me show you. You're going to hit hardship. You're going to get struggles in life. You're going to get frustrated. Be patient. Wait on the Lord. He is teaching you. He is training you. He is completing you through the process. Endure in it. love him in it and love others through it. And in your patientness, lead others to God so that they can experience his forgiveness as well. Being patient isn't just about you being patient. It's about allowing others to see the greatness of God as we wait on him. Band, you can come on up, and I'm going to close with this quote by Boyd Bailey. He says this, "Patient endurance is active and productive. It is not misguided, apathetic, or irresponsible waiting. It is daily depending on and seeking God for his best. Therefore, patiently endure for God's sake and for the sake of others." Church, you're going to have a choice in life of how you're going to react when life throws different things at you. My encouragement for you, cultivate the fruit of the spirit of patience in your life. And how do you do that? Trust in the Lord. Wait on the Lord. Count on the Lord. Don't be jealous of other people. And don't get angry. Allow the Lord to act and wait on him and seek him. Because those who patiently endure to the end will inherit the land. Those who patiently endure to the end will be perfectly completed. And that's God's plan for you and us, that the world might see how great he is. Let's pray. Lord, thank you that you are a God who is patient with us. Lord, that you have allowed me to experience people loving me through patience and showing forgiveness through patience a lot of times when I didn't deserve it. And yet they waited, and they waited on you, and they waited on me, and they loved through the process. Not so that I would love them, but I would see the bigger picture of you loving me through them. God, I pray for our strength. I pray for our willingness to wait on you and to be patient on the things you want to do. Help us allow you to act and be ready to act along with you when you call us to it. Lord, thank you for not abandoning us in all this. But Lord, as we patiently go through these trials, we have the hope and the joy of knowing you are there with us. And we thank you for that. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.